Few prayer requests. First is Sherry Hensley, who possibly has a bacterial infection and is in isolation in the hospital. Her chemo has stopped.
Sorry, that's okay, sister.
Pray for Yvonne Albright and Glenda Kirk, who both have COVID. Pray for the family of John Giles Kennedy, who moved to his heavenly home yesterday.
Precious Heavenly Father, what a privilege to come before your throne with our needs, knowing that you love us, that you care, that you want us to come to you with what we need. And so today, Father, we lift up Sherry Hensley to you, and she's in this hospital room right now, and we just ask that you would touch her body, heal her body in Jesus' name. Let her feel that beginning from head to toe, that healing just flowing through her body, and fill her room with your presence, that she knows that right now at 9:30 on Tuesday morning, God is doing something in her body. And Father, we'll be faithful to give you the praise and the glory. And Father, we lift up Yvonne Albright and Glenda Kirk, who have COVID right now, and we ask for healing in their body. Strengthen them and heal them in body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. And for everyone out there who is facing any kind of sickness or doesn't feel good or just has that bug or whatever that's going around today, Father, we just rebuke that in the name of Jesus, and we speak healing over these loved ones, and we ask that they realize that their healing is because of you and that it becomes a testimony of what you have done for them. And Father, we ask for comfort for this family who lost a loved one yesterday. We just ask that your presence just come in and just envelop them in a way that only you can, Father, that those who know you will be comforted, and those who don't know you will be hungering for that peace, that they will know you through this, Father, and that you will be magnified even in their darkest hour, that you will be lifted up and glorified, and that hearts will surrender to you. And Father, we thank you for it, and we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So I have an announcement for Great Gateway Church Fall Camp Meeting 2022, October 23rd through the 26th at Gateway Church, located at 4227 West 3rd Street here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sunday, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m., Evangelist Ed Held. And then Monday night at 6 p.m., Evangelist Jason Steidham. I hope I'm pronouncing these right, y'all. And then Tuesday night at 6 p.m., Evangelist Kristen Tomlin. And then Wednesday night at 6 p.m., Evangelist Renee Moore. And it's hosted by Pastors Chasten and Brooklyn Music. And I did, just so you know, I did take a photo of this, and I posted it on our Facebook page, therockchristianmusic.com. So if you want the information and you wasn't able to get it down right now, you can go to our Facebook page, and it's on there. Okay. Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. They are our sponsor today. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. The Refuge Church at New Liberty, located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. If you have any questions about the Refuge at New Liberty, you can contact Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey at 580-729-0956. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Getting your oil changed or having your tires rotated isn't always the easiest thing for a woman to have done, but it's always been just fine for me because Barber Dyson Ford takes care of everything. They've always treated me professionally. I've never had to worry about unnecessary work, and the work they've done has kept me on the road, and it's kept me safe. That's one reason I'll be a Barber Dyson customer for life. Thanks, Barber Dyson Ford, for providing outstanding service for 25 years.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. I need to do the right thing. The challenge is finding out what that thing is. This is where you develop habits. Good habits produce good results. They're not dependent on what somebody else thinks or even what you think at the time. When you find the right thing, make it a habit.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Ms. Renee Kielhoffer. Her title for this morning is Free of Me. Back to you, sister.
All right. Proverbs 4:25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. So there is a subtle misunderstanding that the Bible is about me. But the Bible is about God. And Jada Edwards spoke to that in the conference too. I love when she held up her Bible and she said, you know, this book will tell you everything you need to know about God, but it will not tell you everything you need to know about you. And that's what we've made it. And as a result, what happens is we wind up subconsciously serving a false God. Mm-hmm. And there are 4 false gods that present themselves whenever our focus is on ourself. And the first one is the self-help God. Now, this is the God who exists to make me feel better about myself, to make everything right in my world. But when we look in the Word and we see the story of Moses, and he was very insecure, and he's telling God, I can't do this. I can't talk in front of Pharaoh. I stutter, or whatever. You know, God did not respond to Moses' insecurities with a self-help pep talk. No, He simply affirmed his own strength and his own skills, because I love this, because the outcome never hinged on Moses. Only God could deliver the Israelites, so he directed Moses' focus back to him. I love that. He didn't coddle him or dote on him. He simply affirmed him with his own self, turned his focus back to God. And what this does is it shifts our gaze from the can'ts to the one who can. So I love that. But sometimes we serve the self-help God. Then the second one is the self-serving God. Now, this God exists to make your life better, to give you all the desires of your heart and make your dreams come true. Don't you just love that one? This version is all about what God can do for me. It's like the story of Simon in Acts chapter 8, who offered to pay the apostles for the power that they had. And Peter responded, may your money perish with you. And Peter also told him that he was bitter. And what happened is Simon was following Jesus for what he could get out of Jesus, not because he loved him. And sometimes we are guilty of that. You know, God, gimme, gimme, gimme. And I think the challenge would be to try to go a day or 48 hours or a week that you do not ask God for anything, but you talk to him every day. But do not ask him for anything. be interesting to see what happens. And I'll be honest, I've tried it. And by the end of the day, when I'm talking to the Lord, I forgot and I start asking. I think I ask more than I affirm his greatness. And so it's a challenge for me. But the truth is that bitterness is a fruit of believing God owes me something. Mm. As if he hasn't already done enough. So if you believe that faith is payment for living a moral life, then bitterness is going to creep in when your faith fails you or when it doesn't work out the way you think it should. Your faith isn't really failing, but our expectations are set on the wrong focus. And so when it doesn't turn out the way we should, then bitterness will creep in if we believe that our faith is payment for what we want from God. Mm. Sometimes we get there. The third false God is the self-exalting God. Now, this God is about your reputation and your glory. He exists to make me look good in public. People will like me and think I'm a good person. This is my self-exalting God. And, you know, and it's tempting to treat Jesus as a key to success for his glory. My success is for your glory, as if I have anything to offer. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Weight of Glory, "Seeking glory is not in itself wrong, depending on who we seek it from. The desire for praise can be pure, like a child beckoning her father. Daddy, look, look what I did. A child's longing for praise is God-given, and it's also a foretaste of heaven." And he goes on to explain, "There will come a day when the redeemed learn at last that they have pleased him when we were created to please." Mm. So God created us to seek praise from him, to live for that moment. We can and we should seek God's praise, but approval is only sweet if it directs our attention back to the Father. If we take that bouquet and give it back to the Father at the end of the day. And the other false God, the fourth false God, this is the self-image God. And he is kind of a combination of all the other gods. And see if this hits anybody out there. This God exists to serve me, to exalt me, to affirm me, because this version of God looks just like me. I mean, he cares about what I care about. He supports the causes I support. He judges people in the same way I judge people. He has a lot of grace for the areas that I struggle in. You know, if this is the God you're serving, if your God hates the same people you hate, that'll step on your toes.
Yeah.
And this God's hard to see because the differences between God's convictions and ours are often tough to admit or even recognize, because somewhere in our reasoning and our logic, we assume or start to believe this is what God thinks. And so we wind up serving this false God. It's kind of like the Pharisees. You know, they set in place all of these rules, and they did it because they believed that this is what God wanted, that God wanted them to follow these rules. But instead of practicing these rules in a way that it brought honor to God, the rules became God. Mm. And so sometimes we treat the rules as God, and we judge other Christians and other people against our list. So when we make God into our image, we actually wind up opposing God, just like the Pharisees. And the truth is, God's called us to something much, much bigger than ourselves. And our souls crave it. That's what that where that longing comes from. We think, I'm doing all of these things I'm supposed to be doing. Why am I still empty? Because our focus isn't in the right place. Because I'm doing. Why am I? Instead of offering it as a gift to the Father. We have to live for much more than our own story. That means we focus on more than what God can do for us and simply focus on God. Again, I think the challenge is to try for a period of time praying on a regular basis every day, like you probably already do, but try not asking God for anything and just affirming Him and telling Him how great He is. You know, we are changed, healed, and redeemed as we seek Him. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. And sometimes, you know, it gets tricky because we focus, maybe we're not focusing on ourselves as much, we're focusing maybe on our family. But the same thing can happen when we make our family about us too. You know, the strength, I'm reading a quote from Rodney Clapp, says, the strength and happiness of families is an important thing, but it is a byproduct of service to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool. So have you ever felt like you needed to make excuses for your kids or your spouse? I mean, guilty. I'm so guilty. Okay, we learned through this study, there's a name for that, and it's called image management. And it's when you want to manage how people see you. And, you know, when your spouse or your kids kind of become an extension of you, then when we let that happen, they're forced to carry a burden they were never meant to bear. Because now they're responsible for our insecurities and for our reputation, in addition to their own reputation and their own insecurities. So we have to learn to let people be who they are and love us the way they know how. Give them permission to be who they are. And rather than seeing them, who they are and what they need and how to love them, we see ourselves and what we need and want from them. We even like do that with our friends, like what can I get from them? And we all do it, you know, like if you have a bad day, you're not going to call your most negative friend. You know, you're going to call the one that you know adores you and thinks you're all that. Because after you have a conversation with them, you're going to feel really good about yourself. And so we all do that. And I'm not saying that, you know, that we shouldn't be in tune with that. We just need to be careful where our focus is. And for instance, for a lot of Christians and even non-Christians, marital status is a measure of worth. Mm. You know, it's like if you're not married, then you wrestle with the connection between self-image and a relationship. And so some people will bounce from relationship to relationship trying to fill that void, and others will just become almost defiantly independent, like I don't need anybody kind of thing. There's like two sides of that, but at some point most will ask that question, why am I single? What's wrong with me? And the truth is, you know, that desire for a relationship is God-given. God said in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. But it goes awry when we link it to our self-image.
Come on.
just because you may be single longer than you want to, just means that God hasn't quite finished with what he's doing in that other guy for you. May not even be about you, but he's got this perfect guy for you, and he's tweaking a few things before he gets him to you. And let's be real. Does marriage solve self-image issues? Or low self-esteem? No. I think now it just expands it, and to include your spouse too. And you're going, instead of saying, you know, what's wrong with me? You're going, oh my goodness, I didn't know there was so much wrong with me. And now I've got this husband and he's got some issues too, you know, and that makes me look bad. And so, you know, how many of you are, at different times, maybe you've been with your spouse or even a close friend. Everybody knows you're good buddies, and they say something dumb and you do the eye roll, you know, just so that everybody around you knows I am not endorsing this. This is not, they're on their own with this. I'm stepping back from this. And with your kids when they're throwing a tantrum in the store, you know, And image management, you know, it may seem harmless, but it's unhealthy because it places unnecessary and unfair pressure on our relationships, and it places our insecurities and our burdens on other people and makes them responsible for that. When the reality is, if we could just turn our focus back to God and allow him to be affirmed and realize that whatever this situation is, the outcome does not hinge on me. That's freeing. And let's face it, image management rarely expresses itself graciously. Yeah, it's usually condescending, sarcasm, or just flat out mean, you know, and I have been so guilty of that. And I want to speak to women especially, because it diminishes your husband when you do that. And I've been guilty of it. So I'm not saying, look at me. I'm saying, you know, Renee, step it up and don't do that. Because it's like you're constantly judging them for who they are. And a man's greatest need is respect. And he desires that most from the person he's closest to. Because as his wife, you see the real him. Mm-hmm. When he goes out into the world, he's projecting this man of confidence, this businessman, this you know, employee that can get the job done. And they're just on the inside hoping that no one ever discovers their real insecurity and their real frailties. So when you, as their wife, who sees most of that, can endorse who they are, it will just blow the roof off of their self-esteem and that respect level. And when we do the eye roll or make the sarcastic catty remark, then they interpret that as disrespect. And it's like humiliating to them, especially around other men. That other men begin, if they think that this man is feeling sorry for me because my wife said this, that's just a whole nother level of disrespect. So be careful with that. I know we're running out of time here, so we'll kind of wrap this up. But self-image or image management, it just presents us from loving other people well. And that's what we're called to do, to love God and love people. And so I'm looking for this one particular quote I didn't want to leave out. Yes. You know, we feel a lot of times as parents, as soon as you find out you're going to be a parent, you kind of get this list of These are the things you should do to have a healthy pregnancy. And when your baby gets here, you should do this and you should do that. And each choice is presented as a pass-fail test. You know, and you make your choice and you feel good about your choice. And you know, this is how we're going to do it in our house, until you run across the mom who made a different choice. And maybe you're feeding your baby jarred baby food, but she's doing the homemade baby food. You know, it's all fresh and organic. And maybe she doesn't allow her child any screen time, but you let yours watch the video while you're cooking dinner because it babysits them for you. You know, and so you begin to feel all of this guilt, when in reality, we focus on other parents' successes or failures. It just leaves us feeling like a second string parent when we all have a choice to make about what's right for our household. And again, the outcome does not hinge solely on me. And I think that was so freeing. When my kids were little, I did a Bible study by James Dobson called Venturing into a Child's World. Mm-hmm. And all these years later, I remember the one line that stuck out to me was, you don't have to be a perfect parent. You just have to be good enough. Mm. And I thought, well, I can be good enough. You know? I'd be perfect, but I can be good enough. But we allow all of this self-focus that breeds the low self-esteem and the insecurities. It also creates guilt, like we're not doing enough, and maybe we're not doing enough in our marriage, we're not doing enough with our children, we're not doing enough for the Lord, and it leads us to this place of overload and disorganization, and then we just feel more guilty. But listen. That guilt is self-inflicted, first of all. But Jesus took our guilt upon himself to set us free from that. But this is the really cool part. We think Jesus died on the cross to set us free from the guilt of sin. But he set us free from all the guilt.
Come on.
Everything, whether it's guilt from sin or self-inflicted guilt from low self-esteem and our own insecurities, he died to set us free from that. And living in a constant state of guilt is living as if Jesus never died.
Come on.
I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to waste my time focusing on something that Jesus died to set me free from. And when we put our focus on him, he doesn't hand us a mirror to see all our faults. Instead, he gives us a vision. Mm-hmm. So let's live for the vision and keep our focus and our gaze set on him. And you know, we need each other. And we need the Holy Spirit to hold us accountable and help us discern between the two to keep our focus right. And that's what I love about this study, is that it's not necessarily our behavior that needs to change. It's just the inward focus that needs to change. You know, you may be nurturing that good girl Christian image, and all of those things that you're doing, you can keep doing, but if you're doing it with your focus on Christ, it's going to bring glory to him instead of breeding insecurities in you. It's just all about him. That's Amen. It. It's just all about him.
Amen. Wow. I'm going to marinate in this today, y'all. I'm going to marinate good in this today. What a great lesson. Thank you so much for being
Thank
a part.
Thank you for having me.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Renee Kielhofer. Y'all have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Let us
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.